That I think that was my biggest challenge with the book. I was just like, I don't know what to do with this, you know?
For sure. Categorize, organize. You know, that's a huge part of writing and really in life in general that I think you highlighted. It is very important. Hey, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to or watching Business Casual Basketball. Glad to have everybody back on the mic this afternoon. I'm Aaron Washington. I'm your host. Excited to be back for episode number 151. This is going to be a really special pod here, guys. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. I have one of the great sports writers, one of the great storytellers in the sports world joining me here on the mic. If you guys don't know who this is at this point, you're living under a rock or you just don't care about sports, but either way, this should be a treat if you guys are tuning in. So this is Miren Fader for you guys that might not be aware. She is a sports writer, staff writer for The Ringer. She has some pieces available out on Bleacher Report that she's done in the past. So, I mean, really incredible storyteller, really talented. And she has a book that's going on sale in just under a month here now, which is really incredible. This has really come up fast. But her book is called Giannis, The Improbable Rise of an NBA MVP, which is really cool. So, yeah, this is going to be the page where you guys can purchase this book, Miren's book that's coming out next month. So it's going to be available for a Kindle version, hardcover version, if you guys want to look at this. And it's published by Hatchet Books. So August 10th is the release date. So if you guys want to check this out, I highly recommend it, you know, especially now that we see Giannis on this incredible tear in the finals. The timing is just perfect to pick up a book like this and to see where he started, how he got to this point, and who have been some of his big influencers and like what he's gone through to get to this point on his journey. So definitely be sure to check that out if you really want to see what Miren's been up to. But yeah, in any case, excited to have you on. I'm really just excited to kind of get your thoughts on what this has been like to publish this book, get this out, author it. Before we get started, I wanted to ask you this. I was watching, I think it was game one of this series back like last week. And at the beginning of the game in the first quarter, Mike Breen shouted you out on the broadcast and said, you know, there's an autobiography of Giannis coming out by Miren Fader. I was like, wow, she's really made it if she's on the NBA on ABC broadcast. How was that? How did that feel for you? And were you aware that something like that was coming? Did it just kind of hit you out of left field?
Well, first, I just want to say thank you so much for having me and just Absolutely. What a beautiful introduction. I'm grateful and thank you for sharing the book. That is just so awesome. So sure. Thank you for having me and thank you for sharing. Yeah. I had no idea that this was going on. I actually, I was at my parents' house. I like cooked them dinner. We're like all Bucks people now. And, you know, we're watching the game and like Mike Breen says, there's a new biography. And like, I turned to my mom. We're like, could there be another one? You know, like we're just thinking
that's what about me, you know, right?
Like, yeah, we were just like, oh my God, because I have no connection to Mike Breen. Like, I have no communication whatsoever. And then we were like, oh my God, he actually said my name, you know, and then pronounced it correctly, which was like the other thing. And so then I was just stunned. I'm still stunned. I can't believe that ever happened. And it's just so strange and very cool. And I'm grateful, but totally shocked. Oh my gosh.
I'm sure I would still be in shock just like you are.
Yeah.
Like that. Like, did that really happen? That must have been some kind of dream or something.
Right. And then the internet was like kind enough to capture it for me because I was like, no, I want to hear it again. And then they, you know, people, I'm just like, oh my God, you guys, thank God you guys know what you're doing on the internet because I don't. So
that's Twitter for you. A clip will come out, a highlight will come out, and they'll share it like 10 seconds later. I'm like, I don't know how you guys do that wizardry, but that's super cool to me.
Yes. Exactly.
And I actually know for everybody that's on this podcast, I know Miren from previous interaction in SBC 2020. That's another course that's coming up that I, you know, I can brag about all day long. It's coming up next month in Las Vegas this time around. But I remember you telling us about some key notes that you keep in your mind when you're writing this book or when you're doing your pieces, talking about microwave stories but feature stories are the gateway into athlete's mind. And you're really trying to get to their soul in an hour. Just things like that. Some of the lines you shared with me, I still have all the notes on my laptop because, you know, that experience was incredible for a lot of reasons. But yeah, I'm really glad that you're here and able to share your time with us. So let's get started, Miren, with your journey on writing this incredible book. So I wanted to start with the idea of writing a book about Giannis. It's kind of like a two-part question for you. First, was writing a book something that you had wanted to do in the past previously, like maybe like a lifelong dream for you or something? And then secondly, where did the idea of writing about Giannis come from? Did you watch him dunk from the free throw line one game and you're like, I got to write about this dude, he's incredible? Where did that come from, Hugh? Where were some of the beginnings when it came to the idea of writing a book like this?
Yeah, I definitely was somebody that wanted to write a book for a really long time. But, you know, trying to find like the right subject and the right, you know, publisher, and like you have to get a literary agent. It's like this whole process that was just like I didn't know how to do, first of all, and I didn't know anyone. So, you know, every time I would try to reach out to a literary agent and say like, hey, I have this idea, they'd be like, you know, I like you but you're too young, or I like you but you're this, or I like you but I don't like the idea, or the idea is not going to sell. So it seemed to me this like impossible combination between like interesting human story slash idea, but it has to be like sellable enough that somebody's going to want to like represent you and sell the book. So I was like, okay, nothing I've come up with is working. Like I must have come up with like four different like serious ideas and like proposals and pitching it. And I was just like really defeated. Honestly, I was just really upset. I was just like, I don't understand. Like, how am I ever going to do this? And, I got introduced to a literary agent who was super, super kind. And he was like the first guy that really took me seriously and gave me a shot. And he was like, my door is open. And I gave him some ideas and he was like, these are good. Just, I don't think it's there yet. And then when I wrote the story on Giannis and his youngest brother, Alex, I spent the day with them in their home in Milwaukee. And the story came out and I sent it to this literary agent. I was like, what do you think? Like, I think this could be the book, you know, because I just feel like we know so little about Giannis, you know. It's like, mm-hmm. we know the broad shape of his life, right? Like had a very tough childhood, transforms into MVP, but like, we kind of like don't know anything in between. So I was just like, maybe this is so much more than a story. Maybe this is an actual book. So that's kind of where that started. And I'm thankful that it came out of a story that I did, because I had that grounding to kind of say, okay, like, how do we then take that and make it into a book, you know?
Right. I get that for sure. And I'm glad you kind of mentioned talking to Giannis and his brother, Alex, and just finding those sources of getting the information for this book. Cause that's another question I had, like when you're going into a process like this, you know, I'm sure for, you know, the feature stories that you come up with in the past, you've lined up these people you want to speak to, you know, the individual people next to them, their family, things like that. Who are the major people that you identify when you were writing this book and you said, I got to talk to the father or the mother or the brother, because they probably know more about Giannis than anybody? Who did you identify when you were setting off on this book that you knew you wanted to pick their brain because they would have some really good quotes and some really good stories about Giannis and his background?
Yeah, definitely the family for sure. And specifically Thanasis, the oldest brother, because when I did the story the first time around, I hadn't talked to him. So it was very important for me to get him this time around. So that and his mom, you know, I feel like she hasn't talked to other reporters. So I think that was like very critical. But for me, the most interesting part, or part that I felt was like, I really need to establish, you know, roots and relations with, were all the childhood friends and teammates, because that part of his life is so obscure. And so I was just kind of like, okay, who did he hang out with every day? Who did he, you know, make friends with on the court? And so the childhood friends really just colored so much of the first couple of chapters. I feel like without those, I'm not sure if the book would have worked. To be honest, just because they saw him before he was a basketball player, you know, they liked him before he was famous or anything. So, you know, I just feel like when you're doing a book, you're trying to talk to everyone that has ever come into contact with this person, you know, and it's like, there's going to be people that say no, there's going to be people that say yes. And it ended up being like 221 interviews. So, so it was a lot of people that I ended up talking to, thankfully, you know.
For sure. For sure. Okay. I'm sure you want a depth of material to choose from.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's better to have too much than have too little. And then you're grasping for straws along the way.
Oh my God. I know. I was just like, okay, I'm used to like taking a lot of information and then trying to figure out how to condense it, right? That's the challenge of every story. But then it's like, I've never had this much information. Like it's like a organization, I feel, is a skill in addition to like writing and reporting. And it's like, how do you take all this stuff that you learned and like put it together in an interesting way? And that I think that was my biggest challenge with the book. I was just like, I don't know what to do with this, you know?
For sure. Categorize, organize.
Right. You know,
that's a huge part of writing and really in life in general that I think you highlighted. It is very important. And, and you know, I don't write for any major outlets like The Ringer or Bleacher Report, but just in my time of writing blog posts for my website in like a couple years, that's definitely something I've run into. You know, I get to the end of the article, and I go back out and I save a draft and I look at the time and it says like a 12-minute read or a 13-minute read. And I'm like,
right.
I'm not sure if I want people to have to devote that much time to it because it's not a feature story. You know, it's not something that I went and got all these interviews for. So I definitely get where you're coming from in terms of having to trim that down and really get the essence of what people want to hear.
It's so hard. It's so hard. I don't care what you write. If you write a menu, it's hard. All of it is hard. It's supposed to be hard.
For sure. For sure. I mean, Monty Williams said it in the last game after the finals. I mean, what you want is on the other side of hard time. It doesn't matter what that is. So absolutely agree. And I'm glad that you really went back to the beginning of Giannis's development as a person, first and foremost, because I feel like when you go and you listen to these broadcasts, they say Giannis and he grew up in Greece and his family was selling trinkets on the streets of Greece and things like that. You hear that all the time. So you get a little piece of it, but then it just jumps to like Giannis was selected, you know, in the NBA draft, you know, it just kind of skips a lot of that meat of what made him who he is today. So I'm really glad you highlighted that. When it comes to the book specifically, when you were going through the process, where you touched on this a little bit already, what were some of the aspects of writing this book that you didn't anticipate going in? You know, it just kind of hits you and you're like, wow, like this is a lot more work than I thought. And this is going to take some time. Like how much time does that kind of like introduce to writing a book? Because I've thought about it myself, but I'm like, wow, that's a lot of time you got to devote. And I'm sure there's unexpected roadblocks. A lot of people start, but they don't finish. Like maybe you could speak to that as it pertains to like how long it takes to get this going. Like how long has this process been going in terms of getting the material, writing this book, and like how long of a road has this been for you?
Yeah. I mean, first off, I would definitely encourage you to write one as well. Like sometimes when I go to bookstores, I look around and I'm like so amazed at the number of books. And I think you could have two reactions. You could say, okay, look at all these books. There's no way I could be on that shelf. Or you could say, these people weren't born with a skill that I wasn't born with. Like I could be on that shelf, you know, like you can. So that's the first thing is like, it's getting over the intimidation of like, I can't do that or why not? You know, I can't. But incredibly time consuming, doable, just, you know, you have to be committed. I think what made this so hard for me is that usually people get like 2 years to do a book, but I only got 1 year because we weren't sure like if Giannis was gonna stay or leave. And, you know, as you know, the book is coming out very soon. And, you know, at the time that I got the book deal, we didn't know he was going to stay. So it was meant to come out at this time, not because we predicted some finals appearance. We just thought he was going to be in free agency and this would be perfect, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, given that I had like half the time that somebody normally has, and my publisher actually put me on like a 20,000 a word month deadline. So normally my process, that's a lot of words, I know. Normally my process is like, I like to report everything and then I like to write, you know, because it's just like, we just talked about, like, there's so much organization. Like, how do I just go from A to B to C, you know? Yep. So this was like so different for me because I was reporting and writing and organizing all at once. So it was like such a learning experience for me. And what a time to be in a pandemic locked in your apartment. So I honestly, you don't even want to know the amount of coffee that I consumed. I would just work all day and all night and right here on this table. And I would just call people at 6 a.m. my time in Los Angeles, because people in Greece, there's a, you know, there's the time difference. And but I think like if you love to report and write, you know, it's something that no matter how long it takes, no matter the time commitment, like it is totally doable. You know, Absolutely. It's just being organized.
Absolutely. The resilience, the organization, those are all key traits you highlighted. And I think that it doesn't matter if you're writing a book. It doesn't matter if you're job hunting. You know, I've been job hunting, I feel like, for multiple years. And, you know, I saw a quote, I think it was years ago, but, you know, I don't know who said it. So I would give credit, but I can't remember who initiated this. But I think the quote read, don't give up on something you can't go a day without thinking about. You know, if it's something that is on your mind all the time, you're really passionate about it, you're going to find a way to make it happen. You know, we all have the same amount of time. And I know for you, you know, the deadline was a little bit shorter, but in terms of the time of the day, we all have the same. So, I mean, kudos to you for getting that book out. I didn't really think about, you know, you having that tighter deadline because Giannis's future was so murky. We didn't know at the time. Right. So that's really incredible.
Thank you. I mean, I was just going to say, and also like all the book proposals that got rejected, all of the literary agents that didn't, you know, think that I had a book in me, you know, so it's all, life is like all about finding like the person that sees you, whether that's work or outside, you know, I'm not going to be for everybody, but, you know, I found one literary agent, I found one publisher. So, you know, but I got turned down like so many times before. It's just helpful to remember. Yeah.
For sure. But I'm sure those other people that turned you down, you know, they see you being shouted out on a national broadcast. Like, maybe we should have put the flyer on her.
Maybe we should have picked her up.
Right. You know, so it's kind of cool how things like that come full circle. But something else I've been curious about, you spoke about writing, being locked in your apartment for days and just being locked in and focused on what you're working on. I'm sure that you ran into this issue, as a lot of writers do, pretty much every writer's block. It's not a matter of when, it's not a matter if, but when it's going to happen. So when it struck for you, when you encountered a time where you're like just going through and then all of a sudden you just hit a roadblock where I'm like, I'm not quite sure how to continue this thought process. What did you do to kind of decompress, to kind of get away from it, to kind of find your footing so that you could come back in a few hours or the next day and really get back to work? What were some of the things for you that helped you refresh your mind, get rejuvenated to kind of get over that hump?
You know, I'm glad you asked this because I hate when writers say like, oh, like that never happens to me. And I'm like,
are you sure?
Of course it does, you know, like it happens all the time. You're just sitting there and you're like, oh my God, I suck. Or like, oh my God, this is the worst. Or like, nothing is happening, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm sure you've heard people like to take walks. For me, what does it for me is I like to bake. So if I just I have to get out of my chair and like bake something, whether it's like a cupcake or a tart or like a pie or like biscotti's cookies, like I just the mixing of things with your hands and looking at a recipe and like getting your brain out of your thinking brain and into your active hands, you know, kneading the dough, it unlocks something for me. It makes me feel, first of all, it makes me feel calm, because when the writing isn't coming, you feel anxiety, and when you feel anxiety, you can't, like the answer does not occur to you because you're panicked and you're beating yourself up or you're having negative thoughts. You're frustrated that you're sitting and putting in the work and you can't seem to like get it done, right? Mm-hmm. But when I literally get up, you have to change locations, and I go to the kitchen and I knead the dough and I'm just like thinking, and maybe some parts of the story do come into my head, and maybe I start thinking and then maybe this isn't working, or maybe the lead should be this, or like, actually, I think this is why that's not working. These things just come to me while I'm moving my hands and doing the recipe. Mm. Or sometimes I'm like doing the recipe and I don't think about it at all. And I just, you know, I'm just lost in the recipe. And then I come back and some part of me is calmer and able to try again. So I would just advise like finding the thing that you like. Some people, it's like an exercise thing. For me, it's baking. It's like finding that other activity that you can do where you don't feel pressure to be good at it. Like that's the only thing I advise, is like make your like writer's block activity be something that you don't feel pressure to be amazing at. You know, it's not about how you do, it's how it makes you feel.
Right. So. That's some great advice. I love that. I mean, I can't relate personally to the baking aspect. That probably give me more anxiety because I have no idea what I'm doing. but I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
It's crazy how the mind works. Like you get so involved and devoted to something and you know, you're doing really well. Cause I feel like sometimes with writer's block, it's like right after you just churn out 5,000 words or something, you're like, this is great. And then out of nowhere it hits you. So it's crazy how just not thinking about it can clear your mind. And it's like you said, like the pressure isn't there for you. So I think that's that release that you need to let the ideas kind of flow more fluidly. So I love that. That's some excellent advice. So if anybody out there loves to bake, I mean, there recipe. You go.
Ask me for a recipe.
Yeah. I mean, if you have anything to offer to the people, I mean, I'd be the first taker definitely. So
love to see I'll send it to you.
Yeah, perfect. Sounds like a plan. But back to Giannis here for a minute. I think about exactly what we know about him. And as we said before, you know, it's not all that much compared to the majority of, you know, all these experiences he went through. I'm curious, you know, when you went through this process, I'm sure you had a baseline of what Giannis was like and what his upbringing was like. But when it comes to maybe some things you found out about him during the process or after the fact that you say like, wow, if I hadn't gone into this deep dive into his life, I would have had no idea that he was this person or he's involved in this. So were there like any traits about him or any activities, you know, I'm sorry if this is getting into your book. I don't want to spoil the book for the people.
No, please. I'm happy to talk about it. Yeah.
Oh, great. But like anything as far as like his activities or what he is like as a person that you just did not see coming, like he's a baker or he's a biker or something that you just had no idea he was involved in. Any moments like that for you during this journey?
Yes. Yes. So one of the things I did know about him was that he's a hard worker, right? Everyone says that. But what I didn't know is that the emotion behind the work. So I found out that he used to cry publicly when he had a bad game and I'm talking about like 17, 18 years old, like, you know, I'm almost a man. And he would just be on the bench visibly crying because in Greece, like men are not, you know, boys and men are not raised to hold in their emotions like, you know, American men are. So just learning about the vulnerability, like, okay, I knew he was hard on himself, but I didn't know how hard on himself or beating himself up manifested. And I think learning about that vulnerability and that free-flowing emotion was just very interesting to me because when I was talking with people that were there in Milwaukee his first year, like the strength coach Robert Hackett, he told me like all of a sudden he sees Giannis crying on the bench, like in the NBA, you know, and the guy, Robert Hackett was like, I had to tell him like, you can't cry in public. So I just think like, I really appreciated finding out those anecdotes because it gives you a sense into like how this modern superstar is built so differently and expresses things differently. And so I think that would definitely be one. And then, you know, when you were talking, another thing came to mind for me, which is that I didn't know the extent to which being undocumented growing up created anxiety in him and the fear of his parents getting deported, the fear of being alone with his brothers and not knowing who to call or what to do, and how essentially he just did not exist on paper because he didn't have a Nigerian passport and he didn't have a Greek passport. And so essentially he was stateless. So I actually just, you know, looking at the process of how the Greek government completely dragged their feet on getting him citizenship papers is so important because I think his story has been framed as like this fairy tale where he was poor, then he got papers, then he ascended to the highest ranks in America. But like that does not cover all of the awful ways he was treated and the way that he was not given a chance to have equal opportunity for 18 years of his life.
Wow. Listen, I love podcasting. Who doesn't? The process is great. Until you get to the part where you have to edit and distribute your podcast. It's time consuming and we all love convenience. Well, here's the most convenient option possible. It's called Anchor. There's creation tools in the app that will allow you to record and edit right from your phone, tablet, or computer. It will distribute your podcast for you on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other popular platforms. You can make money from your podcast with minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go to the free Anchor app or anchor.fm right now to get started. And trust me, you won't regret it. That's really incredible. Those are some facts about Giannis that it makes sense when you're trying to just, you're putting together exactly what makes him who he is today. And, you know, we see the finished product of these people, but, you know, we got to understand that it's their prior circumstances and situations that make them who they are today. And, you know, you talking about Giannis showing this emotion during and after games, it got me thinking. I think that's something that I think it's an indictment on American culture when it comes to expressing emotions, because I thought about two other NBA players that in the past years have been shown to have emotion. I think it was Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns. I think when it came to their inclusion or actually omission from their All-Star game, and you see them just showing emotion. And I remember that Draymond Green went on Twitter. I think it was the day after or the day of, I think it was like Rudy Gobert had cried a little bit, like, I think because he didn't make the All-Star team. And this is when he was like winning Defensive Player of the Year. So, I mean, I'm sure for him, it was quite disappointing. And, you know, Draymond is out here saying, like, you know, you can't cry and you can't do this and do that. And I'm thinking to myself, well, why not? You know, these are people that have these lifelong goals. And, you know, when you fall short, it hurts. So, you know, maybe that's something that I guess in other countries they have a better hold on than us is, you know, just that doesn't make you any less of a man or anything like that. It's just, it's human nature to feel emotion after that.
Yeah. And I remember that as well. And like, I think like being a woman sports writer, I don't know if like that is why some of these men feel like comfortable talking with me about those things. Like, I don't know if that's it or what it is, but I'm just like glad to show more vulnerable sides of these men because I feel like they're not given space to do that or be that, which really just sucks in general, like as a human. Right. You know, like I can't imagine how you feel like growing up in a world that says like that's not okay to act like that, you know? And so I just really enjoy writing about those things, even if they're painful. I just think it's important because it's like oftentimes we just deny the humanity of athletes as if they're not people, as if they don't have desire and dreams and fears. And if doing this has taught me anything, it's that being famous like does not shield you from pain at all.
Exactly. Yeah. At all. It can be worse when you're in that position.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well said. And yeah, it's just really incredible, like how much we really don't know about these athletes behind the scenes. And this, I mean, your work and the work of other great writers, you know, in this space, this is part of the reason why, you know, sports and sports writing is so cool to me. I try to read multiple articles a day, at least three, if not four or five, because I want to know more about these people. I want to know more about teams, because I think when you know more about, it doesn't matter if it's more about a sport, more about a person, it's easier to get invested in it. And it makes you love it even more when you know what you're rooting for, what you're supporting. I'm sure for you now that you know about Giannis's journey, now that you see him on the biggest stage and, you know, he's putting up numbers not seen since LeBron and Jordan. It's like, wow, I know about what he went through to get here. This is even more special. And I earlier, like, you know, you're almost like a part of that Bucks, like, I'm not going to say bandwagon. That's almost like a disrespectful.
No, I am. Like, I'm part.
But I say, I almost feel like you just jumped on halfway through, you know, even though you've been, you know, you've gone through this journey with Giannis kind of in the back end. But yeah, it's really incredible to see, you know, what some of these people have gone through. And it makes you even more excited to see them play and to see them perform because you know what got them to this point, what makes them so special away from the court.
Yes. And I often like draw inspiration from the athletes that I cover because I feel that way every time I see them. Every time I see LaMelo, some part of me is just like, oh, look at him, you know, like he's here, you know, he was like a 15-year-old when I met him, you know, and I take inspiration. Remember that one athlete you talked to and she went through this, that, and the third, like, she gets what you're going through. What did she tell you about resilience? And I think this is why, like, we want to read stories. Like, you're an avid reader. Like, you read because, like, I imagine, you know, part of you wants to see yourself in stories or learn something or feel something. And like, I want people to feel something when they read this. And like, when you read this book and you watch Giannis, like, you're just going to have an appreciation for all the things he had to endure to get to where he is. Because, you know, a lot of these journeys are improbable, like other athletes. There's a whole lot of athletes in the NBA that also have journeys that were really difficult or, you know, just nobody saw it coming. But I've never encountered an athlete that had gone through more than Giannis that dealt with the things that he dealt with and is still dealing with. So yeah, just, it makes you respect them more when you realize like their life hasn't been super easy, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, I feel I can go all day on this because, you know, it's something that it makes sports what it is. It's the, we can hype up the finished products, like the journey that we hype up the destinations a lot. Like we say, all right, let's debate LeBron and Jordan. You know, they've won that, they've won that. But I think the meat of it, the most of the content we get is from the people's journeys, like Chris Paul's journey, you know, him being in the finals, you know, on the other side is, that's what makes it so special, honestly. So I love that. But let's go to, I guess, after the fact now, looking at what has been going on now that the book is about to be released. So I wanted to start with kind of like what you've been doing kind of after you finish the book. And then we can talk a little bit about the finals, because it's pretty incredible right now, what's been going on. So that's an incredible story. But specifically about the book, as you're finishing up, what would you say are, if you had some advice to give on, some other people that might be thinking about writing a book, like, what would you say, what advice would you give people looking to take on such an endeavor? Because it's a serious commitment and it's no small task doing that. So maybe if you were talking to yourself in the past, what would you tell yourself at the start of the journey?
Yeah, the first thing, it's okay that you don't know what you're doing because you've never done this before. I think that, you know, we can all be hard on ourselves and it's like, well, you've never done this. Like, how are you supposed to know what to do? You know, a lot of it, you're just going to learn by doing it. Like, you get thrown in the fire, somehow you're going to figure out how to not burn yourself to death, you know, and come outside. So I think like, it's just, if it seems overwhelming and intimidating, like go for it anyway. Like you will figure it out. You know enough, you are seasoned enough to figure it out. And that if you doubt yourself the whole way through, like, welcome to the club. Like that just makes you human. This is not, you know, I don't feel throughout the process, I never was like, oh my God, I got this. Like, I'm so good. Like the whole thing is like one of doubt. So, you know, just know that like, that is like so normal. And then I think finally pick a project that you are excited about, pick a project that you're not going to get sick of on the hard days. Cause there are days where you're like, okay, I suck. Like I can't do this, but I still love his story. I still am fascinated by it. I'm interested. Don't just do a project that, you know, either comes to you and you think, you know, I gotta grab it because I'm never going to get an opportunity again. I understand that. I've been through that. But there will be opportunities and you don't have to grab the first idea that comes to you if you're not into it, because you're the one that's going to have to sit there day after day working on it. Not anyone who gives you an idea. It's going to be you and you. So, you know, make sure that you're doing something that you're excited about, because like, this is your work. This is your name on it, you know?
Exactly. That's a really good advice, man. I'm glad you shared that. Is there a possibility for another book down the line? You know, is this something that's a one hit wonder, one and done, or could we see another book by you down the line? Maybe if you want to give like a little sneak peek into your mind here.
Okay. So I definitely want to do multiple books. I am trying to come up with my next idea. My goal that I've set for myself is to have said proposal for said idea, whatever that is, by December of this year, 2021. So if anybody's got an idea for me, let me know, because I am hunting for ideas and I've got a couple, but I'm like, I don't know, like, is this good? You know, so I'm definitely brainstorming. I need to move, you know, I know I'm like in Giannis mode, you know, like talking about it, but my mind is like, okay, what's next? What's next? What's next? Because even, you know, even though I'm like, of course I, you know, I feel relief and pride that this is coming out, but I'm also like, okay, but like, what's next? You
Let's
know,
so ride.
yeah, so definitely, if you think of anything, let me know.
For sure. I got ideas popping off left and right. Promising, I'll shoot it your way for sure. But yeah, that's really incredible to hear that. It's really cool to hear that this won't be the last entry, that there'll be more on the horizon once this is out. So when it comes to this book being promoted, I know this is great timing. We talked about this before we jumped on the air. The fact that Giannis is having this run, I mean, it might go down as one of the best finals performances in history. He's putting up numbers not seen since the greats of the game, breaking barriers and just breaking records. It's really cool to see. Do you feel as though the press for your book, the popularity of your book, you know, I've seen you appearing on some other podcasts and some other projects. Do you feel like that's been heightened by the fact that the Bucks are super relevant? Giannis is super relevant. Yeah. Like, they're some of the most relevant people in the NBA right now because they're on the biggest stage. Is that something that's you feel has aided your book as you go about marketing it, as opposed to if they were at home, sent home in the second round again?
Yeah, 100%. And that's why my publisher's getting me out there and is like, you know, do more. My mentor's like, you should be more visible, you know, because I'm just like not
everywhere.
Yeah, and I'm just like, I'm used to being behind the scenes, you know, it's nerve-wracking. I'm not used to, you know, getting attention. That's why I like being a journalist. I don't like being the story. So it is super weird. But for sure, I mean, if they win the championship, that obviously helps me. And it's also just like, he's just super relevant right now. And the book is marketed to people that know nothing about basketball as well. Like, even if you don't know anything about him, like, you might watch him in the finals and be like, oh my God, he seems like such a lovable guy, like the Tinkle thing. And then, you know, then you see an announcement, there's this book, you might think like, okay, like, let me read that. So, you know, just personally, I feel lucky, you know, as I said, when we wrote this, like, nobody ever thought like, oh yeah, they're gonna like be in the finals. Mm-hmm. We just thought he was gonna be in the press for the free agency thing. So it's definitely, I feel grateful. And whatever happens, I think at least the narrative has shifted for Giannis in terms of, like, I know you remember a bit earlier in the playoffs where he was catching major heat and just a lot of Giannis slander. And, you know, he's just come back with such resilience. So I think that, like, totally 100% helps the book.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think that has gone and it's spread to the whole team because that's been their whole theme in this playoffs. I had a guy named Rohan on my podcast, I think it was last week, and we kept on going back to that point about resiliency and perseverance. Yeah. Because there were multiple times during the playoffs, you know, against Brooklyn, especially, where it's like, well, this is it. You know, they're going home in the second round, you know, then they go up against the Hawks. And it's like, you know, while they're struggling with a young team, that's all these guys haven't been in the playoffs before. So I saw the slander. I saw the questions about Giannis and his free throw shooting and things like that. And it's really incredible that this team has been able to withstand all of the setbacks when it comes to the adversity, when it comes to all the criticism, because of course, once you get to the playoffs, it's 100 times worse because that's where people expect you to elevate your game and be better. So it's really cool to see them have this run. And of course, Giannis specifically. And I think part of the reason why he's been able to deal with this so much, and it goes back to what you've been writing about, Miren, it's his story and what he's been through. I'm sure that he's thinking to himself right now, he's like, compared to what I went through in my childhood and just knowing where I get my next meal from or just things like that. So it's so intense. Now being booed and people mocking him for his free throw routine, I'm sure it doesn't seem as bad, you know, when he's gone through the fire to this point.
It literally does not bother him. Like, that's why you see him, like, I have never, not like casual, but like, I have never seen somebody act so casual after airballing a free throw. I'd be like tomato red, like, lose my mind, you know, just like, oh my God, can I hide? Like, just the unshakable confidence, because like you said, he's been through worse. So like, what does a meme of a purse of, you know, oh, Giannis not in his bag, whatever, like, it doesn't. It's just stupid. I also think like he's just not on social media like that. I know he has some pretty funny like videos and stuff, but he really just, all he cares about, what does my mom think about me? What do my brothers think about me? Am I being the best example for them? Am I doing everything I can for my team? Like, everything outside of that is like very irrelevant to him. Mm-hmm. It's refreshing.
It really is. Like you see athletes that always have something to say, that it seems like they care so much about what the people are saying. It's like when one comment comes out, they snap back. You know,
yeah.
I won't name names. I have someone in mind that does it all the time. It's been on social media. I snap back to every comment, and I've talked about it in the past. And I'm sure some people can guess who that is. But it, like you said, it is refreshing to see Giannis, and he's like, "Hey, this is who I am. This is what you're mm-hmm. going to get." You know, I'm not the best shooter. You know, I'm not going to be Steph Curry. I'm not going to do that. Right. But I'm going to, you know, make incredible blocks, which, by the way, just speaking on that for a second, what a play. The block. That might replace LeBron as the block from now on. Like,
I think so.
It was that incredible. So, I mean, just thinking about what he had to do in that instance in is less than a second to react.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I highlight the fact that if you look at it in slow motion, like when Booker threw the pass, like Giannis is still guarding him, you know, when the ball was in the air. So like, how do you do that? So like, it's just really incredible. That's why he's the Greek freak. I mean, that's where the nickname comes from. He does things that almost no one else can do. It's special.
You can't teach it. You can't.
You really cannot. Yeah. So it just goes back to his journey when he's done to get here. And people talk about all the time. It's like, you know, when he has a down performance, you know, he'll get extra shots up. You have to lock him out of the gym.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you highlighted that in your book, but I think I remember hearing on a broadcast that people had to keep him out of the gym. It's like, you can't come back today. You know, you've had your fill.
Right.
We need to protect you from yourself because you're taking it too far. You know, that's something about the greats that I love to see. Is that they care so much about being the best version of themselves in the basketball court that they can't get enough. It's super encouraging, super inspiring
mm-hmm.
for the next generation, which that's a whole other aspect I don't think we talked about yet. It's like the influence on younger players. I love that. I love that he's setting a great example for people like that. And I think some of those people, after reading your book, they're going to know about him, and I think they're going to be motivated to push through whatever they're going through so that they can be great basketball players one day, or just great individuals. So I love that aspect about your book coming out and about Giannis's journey. It's so cool.
Yeah, I interviewed Jalen Green for the book because I wanted to find out, like, does the next generation look up to Giannis?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He was just like on the court, off the court. And he said that Giannis was one of the reasons he went to the Philippines. He's half Filipino. And, you know, he just felt like, look at Giannis's story. Look at the way that he's, you know, just so embraced his culture, like, let me go and embrace mine. So I thought that was really cool. But just, yeah, in general, like you said, like, kids these days, when you ask them, like, who do you want to be like, they say Giannis. And it's just, this is a guy that, like, didn't start playing basketball, like, seriously until age 16. So, you know, it's just, look at his body rookie year. Look at his body now. Like, work ethic can really change a whole lot.
A whole lot. And I feel bad because I have a friend of mine. He was on the Giannis bandwagon from day one. Like, we've been friends for a decade. And
yeah.
I remember him after the draft. He's like, that guy Giannis is going to be pretty good. And I was like,
wow.
I was like, I don't know. I'm going with Oladipo. Like, Oladipo was my guy from that draft that I was like, oh, he's going to be, you know,
right.
The next grade and everything. And then he gives me flack on it every day. He's like, I told you, man. I told you. I was like, hey, you know, I'll give you points for that one because –
He knew.
Like, I don't know if he knew he was gonna, you know, have 40 and 10 in the play in the finals,
right,
but I mean,
right.
He knew he was gonna be really good. So that's so cool to see. I love what he's been able to do. But I think that about brings us to the end of our conversation. I thank you so much again, Miren. You know, I'm sure you're making a lot of appearances and you're trying to get this book out. So I just appreciate your time, you know, coming to my podcast and offering your thoughts and letting people know about your journey on this book. It's been so cool to see. So best of luck in your future endeavors. And as this book continues to go out, I'm definitely getting a copy. I got to check this out for myself.
Yay.
I think everybody else should too. So thanks again. And I hope that this book makes waves and you get more shout outs on the national networks. Sure.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you for being so kind and awesome and just asking such thoughtful questions. Like, I really appreciate you having me.
Hey, I learned some of that stuff from you. It's SBC 2020.
Appreciate
so
it. There we go.
Hey, we all help each other out, you know. I love
it.
It's so
awesome.
Cool. So,
thank
yeah, everybody be sure to check out her book and keep it locked on The Ringer. You know, she has some great pieces coming out here and some great work for them. So be sure to, you know, keep up with her and what she's got going on. As far as Business Casual Basketball, you know, we're going to be here every Thursday. BC Basketball 2 is our Twitter handle if you want to follow us on Twitter or Instagram. And then BC Basketball 2 is our website. So blog post, some more resources coming out. The draft is around the corner. The you know, the finals are about to be over, free agency. So there's more resources coming out on our end that you can expect here very soon. So thanks to everybody for taking the time to listen to this podcast. You know, we'll be back next week with some more NBA analysis, some more awesome conversations. Until then, enjoy these NBA finals, this NBA season. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll be back here real soon for another episode. So take care.